Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once of All. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Christina, and Brittany. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I had to say your name slowly to make sure I didn't miss anyone, because this is like a whole new group for Once of All for today, which is awesome. And the reason we are all together to talk about Once Upon a Time is because, hello, casting news.
Yay.
I am so excited about this casting. So excited. Hi. So for anyone who missed it, today Once Upon a Time announced who they have cast as Kristoff and Anna. And we knew that the casting was coming because a couple of weeks ago, they released like a casting call for the people that they were looking for from Arendelle, which is the world of Frozen. And it was Elsa, Anna, and Kristoff. And so today we got our first look at Anna and Kristoff. There's still no word on Elsa, which I find really interesting. We'll have to see what they come up with there. But for the casting for today, we get Kristoff is going to be played by, what's his real name? Because I just want to call him Cappy.
Michael Scott Forster.
Thank you. Michael Scott.
Scott Michael. I typed Scott. Michael Scott so many times.
It is Scott Michael Forster.
Because Michael Scott is from The Office, and as I was writing the article, I kept typing Michael Scott.
So, Scott Michael Forster, and in case you're wondering where you've seen him, he was Cappy on Greek, which was an ABC Family show. So he's keeping it in with the ABC, you know, the ABC groupings. He's also right now on Halt and Catch, I think it's called.
Halt and Catch Fire.
Catch Fire. I knew there was more to it. Halt and Catch Fire with Lee Pace is also on that, correct? And he's also in the ABC Family show Chasing Life, which is about a girl with cancer. So he's pretty awesome. I really like him. So what do you guys think about him being cast as Kristoff?
I really like it. If you look, he cut his hair, but if you look at older pictures, like when he was on Greek, he has that floppy hair, and he's so attractive, you guys.
I know. Okay, this picture, I like had to look at it twice, because I was like, wait, that's not Cappy. But I think like his face is more angular, too. I was like, oh, hello, handsome. You'll fit in perfectly with, like, Hook. Maybe you can be BFFs, I'm just saying. Yeah, so I'm kind of excited. What do you guys think, Karen and Christina?
I don't know who he is at all.
I know.
I get in trouble all the time for not knowing things. But looking at the picture, yeah, with him with his longer hair, like, I can definitely see a physical resemblance where I think, you know, if you're basing it off of the movie and if they're trying to go for a similar look, I think he would be really good for it. He is very attractive, not complaining about that. But I guess other than that, I'm pretty neutral on it since I don't really know who he is. But I'm just glad we finally have some casting news.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I did watch Greek, like, religiously. And Cappy was so goofy, like, on the show. And I just feel like he would be able to use that same kind of energy on Once Upon a Time and really be Kristoff.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
He has that certain, like, likability factor. Cappy, and this comes from the actor himself, I think, Scott, not Michael. Scott has that kind of personality that you just kind of, he seems very joyful and jokingly, you know, but that could just be Cappy. But I'm excited to see him play Kristoff like that, hopefully.
Yeah, me too. I think, for any of you who haven't seen Greek, Cappy was this kind of carefree frat boy, not in a bad frat boy kind of way, but it just, he was really great. He balanced out the more serious side of some of the other characters, and I really enjoyed him, and I definitely think that those are qualities that Kristoff will need for Anna and for Elsa, and to kind of balance things off. Now, in the release, it talked a little bit about his character, correct, Brittany? Because you wrote this up.
Yes. Well, I didn't include it in this one, but I did in the other article.
Okay.
It was like a while back. It said what it called.
In the Kristoff like casting statement, it says that Kristoff is a hardy, salt of the earth ice cutter whose sometimes gruff demeanor can hide his deep love for Anna and her sister Elsa. When we first meet him on Once, he is adjusting to life at the castle, including sleeping indoors for the first time in his life. So I think that's really interesting that it's going to be post-Frozen stuff. So, and we'll have Anna and Kristoff together as like a couple. So that's kind of fun.
Is this why Disney didn't want to do a Frozen 2?
Perhaps.
They were like, here, Once Upon a Time, you can do your own sequel.
Perhaps, who knows? It's kind of interesting. But again, I think that I think it'll be really fun. And we'll talk about some predictions a little bit later, what we might think will happen with these two. And then we have Anna. And for Anna, they basically chose an unknown. Is this the first thing she's ever really been in?
Yeah, I tried to find like anything else, and it's just been she was on like in part of a Kickstarter for like as an actress, but nothing that really is mainstream. So she is relatively unknown.
She
has two IMDb credits.
Yeah, so that's not a lot. That's pretty impressive. Her name is Elizabeth Lale. Is that how you think you say her name?
I think so.
Yeah, and she will make her debut as Anna. So the description for Anna is she's a fun-loving, fearless optimist who often gets herself into situations where she is in over her head, yet is able to triumph due to the resourcefulness and can-do spirit. She values her relationship with Elsa above all else. So that's kind of interesting. And we kind of know that about Anna just from if you've seen Frozen. So it's kind of interesting to see what they'll do with that. There's, you know, and what they're going to do with Elsa and why Rumpel had her in the basement or the dungeon or whatever. What do you guys think? Do you have any predictions?
Well, I really want to know why Elsa was in there to begin with, because the vaults that where she comes out of is where Rumpel like puts magic that he can't understand. And so I don't know why, like, I feel like she was maybe captured and now she's going to, like, seek revenge on him. But I feel like we're going to flash back and that's where we're going to meet Anna and Kristoff. I don't know if they're going to come to Storybrooke.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that they might be flashback material because it says like, when we first meet Kristoff.
Like Aurora.
Yeah. Well, Aurora's now in Storybrooke, though. Right?
Oh.
Yeah, in the finale, they kind of snapped to her in her princess garb. She was a flying monkey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so she's in Storybrooke now. So, I mean, I don't know. It would be interesting here's what I think. I think that, A, Rumpel clearly had a very big suspicion about Elsa for whatever reason, and he was afraid of her because he only kept the things that he was afraid of down there. So now we have Elsa, who's probably pretty agitated, and with her being in Storybrooke and maybe causing some havoc, perhaps Anna and Kristoff will come to kind of try to calm her down and get her back kind of thing. That might be, we might see them in flashback in the beginning, but by the end, maybe they'll have come to Storybrooke to try to help out with Elsa.
I think the thing I'm most interested in right now is to see where they go with Elsa, because I feel like you can't really make her a main villain because of how she was represented in the movie. But I agree that she's probably going to be pretty mad and is probably going to go after Rumpel. But I'm curious to see how they can kind of stay in touch with the movie and the character that was portrayed there and yet still put their own spin on it and insert her into this movie or this show. But I don't know. How far do you guys think they're going to go with making her this like a main focus of the season?
Well, that's a perfect lead into what I was going to say, is that I think Elsa is slated for 9 episodes and Anna and Kristoff are like lingering in like the 6 area. So she's definitely going to be there for almost half a season. Which it's sort of like, I hope it's not like a Neverland versus Oz.
I think it will be. I think they liked how that played out.
How they split it.
Yeah. Making it like 2 different seasons because there was such a big break.
Right. Well, see, I think this past season worked out really well where it was 11 episodes and then 11 episodes. Like, I think that worked out better than years past, and it kind of kept the storyline moving. So I think it would work to have the Elsa storyline be the first half of the season with Anna and Christoph mixed in, and then have something different the second half of the season. I could see that definitely working.
As long as both halves are still quality, like equal quality, I'd be okay with that.
And I think they don't go back to Neverland.
Yeah. But I think they managed that this past year. I think both halves of the season were pretty high quality and pretty intense. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I can't wait to see. Here's my other thing. How long has Elsa been kept captive? Like, I feel like it's been a really long time. I don't know why.
I feel like it's definitely been through, like, two curses worth of time.
Well, yeah. And who knows how long that is at this rate.
Two, goodness three, me. However many we're up to.
Is that, like, 90 years? Is it 30 years of curse? How does this work?
Maybe no one ages, so we really don't know.
I know.
But then what does that mean for Anna and Christoph? Like, I can understand if she kind of is stuck in limbo because she was in that jar, but what about them? You would think that time would be passing for them wherever they are.
Yeah,
are you trying to bring logic to Once Upon a Time?
I'm still working on my giant, like, family tree poster, so yes.
Oh, that's one twisted tree, let me tell you. Yeah.
Oh,
it's kind of like a bush. It's not like a tree. It's like a bush.
It's like a fern.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, so I don't know, you guys. I'm super excited about it, though. And I'm really excited that we're going to have Anna and Christoph in a significant amount of episodes. Like, I didn't think we would. I thought we'd have maybe a couple of flashes here and there, but to have them in almost half a season is really cool.
Am I the only one who's super disappointed that Kristen Bell isn't going to be playing Anna?
No, I'm kind of sad. But what if she came on and played Elsa?
Oh, that would be... Because
they haven't
announced
that
yet. That would, mess with my head, though.
And if you look at the girl that they cast for Anna, she and Kristen could definitely be sisters.
This is very off topic to what you guys are talking about right now, but I like that they are doing Frozen now, because thinking about, like, Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and all that stuff, those are stories that are decades old at this point, so, like, you know they're going to get their happy ending. With Frozen, I feel like it's still such a big question mark that, like, they could really take this in a different direction.
Yeah, they could. Absolutely. And we don't have a happy ending for Elsa yet. Elsa's kind of left wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something they could explore as well, given that she's going to come in free Storybrooke. Villain Storybrooke would be perfect for Elsa. Let's pick someone.
Let's just hope we don't have, like, another never-ending winter to coincide with this season, because then it's just going to be really depressing to watch.
Yeah, I know. That would be really rough, wouldn't it?
Those poor actors.
For us New Englanders up here where we freeze, or Northeasterners in general. Yeah, we did have a harsh winter. And it was all because Frozen came out at the theater. That's what I'm blaming. Great marketing plan, Disney.
Speaking of season four, though, can we please see Hook not in leathers?
Oh, my God. Do you, like, know how many jeans. Times we say that on here? Like, can we get the man a nice sweater?
Like, that's all I want. Like,
I'm just complaining.
I'm quite content with how he looks.
But now that he's, like, being fully integrated, I just want, like, domestic Hook. It's all I really want.
What girl doesn't want a domestic Hook? I mean, come on. Everybody. We say that a lot on here. We're like, can we get him something a little less, like, pirate and a little more, like, edgy? Something, anything. Like, a little, just, can we tone down the pirate swag a little?
But I see the photos of him on set for, what's that movie that he's filming right now? Like, the Dust movie?
Yeah, the Dust Storm.
The Dust Storm.
Oh, my
God.
There are pictures. Photos. And nobody sent them to me, ladies.
I will take care of you. Do not worry.
Thank you, Brittany.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable. Like, I don't even miss the eyeliner. I thought I would. I don't. I was over it in a few
minutes. No,
because he's V-neck.
He's so attractive in person. He's so attractive. It's not right. Anyway, we're so off topic.
Yes.
So some other news and some things that have come up since the finale aired and we had our last episode. We had an interview with the lovely lady who is playing Maid Marian, or some of you may not think she's lovely, but in person she's really nice. poor lady. So Christy Lang, is that how you say her last name?
Yes.
Okay. And you had a chance to interview her, Brittany, right after the episode, the finale, aired, when everyone was kind of like rage monster against Marion. I felt a little bad. So do you want to talk a little bit about your interview and how she's kind of taking the character of Maid Marian in the position that she's currently in?
Sure. Well, in true Once Upon a Time spirit, she knows absolutely nothing. And but she is very excited to be back. She is so sorry to all of the Regina fans. She was very I felt bad. I was like, I know you like ruffled some feathers a little bit after last night's episode. But she is very excited to be back. She's most looking forward to her storybook garb, like what kind of outfits they're gonna put her in. And she thinks that Regina is going to have some more adapting to do, and she's really looking forward to getting to know the cast a little bit better, because she was only on for maybe 5 minutes total before this, and she kind of got the call out of the blue saying, hey, we came up with this storyline and we want to invite you back. And so she jumped right at the chance to come on and work with everyone, but she is very excited to be back, and I, from her enthusiasm, I'm really excited to see what they do with Maid Marian this season. Are you guys excited that she's back?
I'm excited that she's back because I think it's a really cool twist, but at the same time, I feel so bad for Regina.
Like, I know.
So bad.
I tried to be so happy for her in the moment, yet I was so upset. I was like, Regina's finally happy.
You're like, I'm like interviewing you, but I don't necessarily have to like it.
Exactly.
Poor girl. Like,
you know, I've grown to accept it.
I have, until like the first episode when Regina's like angry and I'm like, no, I want the other one back, please. But I think, I don't know, do you guys really think Regina will come back and be, like, brutally angry? And, like, I don't think she's going to revert to being Regina. I think she's going to be hurt. I think there's going to be a lot for her to work through. But I don't think we're going to see her revert to the hateful, vengeful Regina that she was.
No, I think she's grown so much this season that for her to do, like, a complete reversal out of this news would be a little extreme, in my opinion.
I think it's interesting because the thing is, Regina and Robin Hood, they are true love. Like, that was proven to us by the fairy dust. So if you look at the language and the vernacular, and I've seen a lot of GIFs, it's all about, like, between first love and true love are very different things. So, like, Marian and Robin Hood might have been, like, their first love and stuff, but if Robin Hood has a true love, do you get where I'm going with it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a great point. And the other thing we talked about on our finale episode of this was that all we saw was an outline of a man and a tattoo. And yes, Robin Hood has that tattoo, but who's to say there isn't another man in the world that has that tattoo, especially one of Robin Hood's men. So she's believing that she loves him based on a tattoo. There are so many things wrong with that, we can't even begin. But do you know what I mean? Like, if that's it, if that's the only thing you have, because she didn't actually see him.
Yeah.
She could just see the tattoo. So there's that too. There's that option.
I still think that they belong together forever.
But he's like, I am not off that ship. It is not sinking.
Yeah. You saw all of my ships of the week when I had to choose for Once Upon a Time. It was either Hook and Emma or Robin Hood and Regina. I tried to be diplomatic, but I was very set in my ways.
Days.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out as we move closer to the fall. I can't wait to get some things. Hopefully at Comic-Con, there will be like a huge Once Upon a Time panel like there was last year, because we got some really great stuff out of those panels, and we got to do some interviews, which were really cool. So I'm hoping they give us a clip or a hint. I mean, we already know that Elsa's, you know, Frozen is coming, and what they usually do is like the year... Last year, they showed us The Little Mermaid, and the year before, they gave us this little, like, clip thing, and it was Hook. Like, so they always kind of, at Comic-Con, revealed who was going to be part, like, the special characters that were going to be a part of the season in the fall, but they've kind of already done that. So, unless they reveal who the actual Elsa is at Comic-Con.
Oh my god, that would be so amazing.
I'm just so envious of you guys.
Oh, there is a little bit more casting news, though.
Oh, what else?
We haven't really talked about, like, the Knave. He's coming over from Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
So excited.
Mm-hmm. Which I suffered through. I don't know how many of you guys finished it.
We did. We had
to. Okay.
We podcasted about it every week, and it was hard. I really wanted to like it. I really did.
I did, too. I really tried, but at the end it was so ridiculous. I couldn't. I'm very glad that the Knave is coming to Once Upon a Time, though. I really liked Michael Scotia.
He was the only redeeming factor of that show anyway, so.
Yeah, we kind of loved the Knave a lot on Unwatchable. A lot.
I liked the White Rabbit's wife, Whoopi Goldberg. So.
Yeah, she was fun too. For the two episodes she was on.
I liked the Red Queen, and I was the only one who did. So.
I interviewed her when the show was first starting. She is so sweet.
Yeah, she is. I got to interview her at Comic-Con last year, and yeah, she was super into playing her, and it was really exciting, but. Yeah, that show, man. So much potential.
Exactly. Oh. It was rough. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him on Once Upon a Time. Because the Red Queen isn't coming, right?
Not as of right now,
So
no.
Then what do we do? Because when we left them, they were together. So how does that function?
She kind of looks like Elsa.
She does.
Oh, that would be interesting, I guess.
We'll just look.
You sound so enthusiastic, Jen.
I didn't watch Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, but from what I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Maybe they'll be rebounds for each other.
Maybe. I don't know. I just find it interesting that they're going to bring him over. Clearly, he was a fan favorite, so I get it. And I'm happy to have him on the screen, let me tell you. But just having him come over is awesome, but what do we do then? Do you know what I mean? What do you do with where you left him in his story?
Yeah, and I also don't really understand how, I don't know if this is something you guys talked about, but how the timelines work, because they would go to Victorian England, but when they had to come and get the Knave's heart, they were in modern Storybrooke.
Yes, the rabbit's portals take you just about anywhere.
Yeah, so I don't know where that's going to set him up timeline-wise. I feel like there's a little bit more room to play around with him.
Maybe. I would hope so, because it's just so hard. It's hard to think about how does he transition over? What does he become? Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Will Robin Hood, recognize him or anything like that?
I think that's true. Yeah, I think he will. I
forgot about that.
And see, that adds another interesting layer to that whole dynamic with Robin Hood, because he and the Knave kind of have a sordid past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, so many things to think about. and the last thing that's kind of come out between the finale and now is this Storybrooke Live component that they're doing, and it's an immersive experience. So what does that mean? I know it's episode by episode, and you get to meet the characters as the episodes go through.
Yeah. So basically, it's kind of do you guys remember a few months ago when that Hogwarts is Here type of thing came out? Where you would get your Hogwarts letter and you write potions essays, and you're kind of thrown in it's a real, you're really attending Hogwarts.
I do not, but go ahead. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
So it's the same sort of deal. It's from the same creator. And so what he's doing is starting in this month, actually, I haven't gotten an email because I signed up for it. Every single day leading up into the finale is an episode that happens in Storybrooke. So you're kind of thrown in and you get tasks and you complete these things in town and you get to interact with the characters. And from what I understand, it's sort of like an RPG, but you're a resident of Storybrooke and you get to create your present self in Storybrooke and your fairy tale self. So you are two different people, but you don't know about the curse coming. I need to actually participate to kind of fully understand it, I think.
Yeah, it sounds a little intense.
Yeah, but every day is supposed to be a different episode. So it's really for the committed participant, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's not sort of like how I am personally with Pottermore, where I'm like, oh, they're already almost on book four, and I haven't gotten past chapter three of Sorcerer's Stone. So.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of time, but it's interesting nonetheless. If that's the kind of thing you're into, then that'll work out nicely for some people, I guess.
Yeah, and it seems to be really, like, well thought out, and a lot of things are covered that I wasn't sure, like, how they were going to work. And the way the creator explained it, sort of, you're charged with tasks. You complete the tasks, even though you know what's coming. And then as the show is airing in season four, they're going to update it every week. So you kind of like get a little bit of a break once you get to season four, but you've already built up this character with three seasons worth of stories and interactions and roles in the town, stuff like that. So then you take your character into season four.
This seems very ambitious.
Yeah, especially if it hasn't launched yet. Because you'll have at least, 44 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, more than that, 64.
Yeah, 64. About 60,
66, somewhere in there. That's a lot, considering it's July and they haven't launched it yet.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting to see, I guess. I like
ABC it. ABC is probably just, like, throwing money at this show. They're like, here, Adam and Eddie, go for it. Anything you want.
Within reason, Adam and Eddie, within reason. Well, I don't know. It maybe because the show has done really well, and it does have a huge following, so.
And the synergy between ABC and Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes licensing probably a lot more easy. Although they have said in interviews that it's the same process for everything, getting stuff. They approached Disney about Frozen. Disney didn't approach them. And,
right.
I don't know. I take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, they can't give away all their secrets. They can't make it look that easy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they kind of have to find the happy medium there. So, yeah. So, I don't know. So, what are you guys hoping for to get out of the first half of the season? Do you guys have any, like, wish fulfillment things or anything you really want to happen with the Frozen storyline or anything like that?
Storybrooke bottle episode.
A what?
A bottle episode.
What does that mean?
It was started on Friends when production budgets got too big. They'd have to do an entire episode with already built sets. So, like, they just, like, it's a very condensed story where they don't really leave the room or anything. Community did them as well. It's just, whoa. Like, what if they all just, like, stayed in Storybrooke and had to, like, go to dinner and had to, like, you know, interact with each other and go shopping and
or
stuff.
If they were, like, at Granny's the whole time at the diner. That would be funny. I'm not gonna lie.
That could work, actually, if they all get snowed in or something.
Yeah. The level of, like, awkward that could happen at a dinner party with these people. Seriously, think of the, like, seriously. I could like that. Or, better yet, a family dinner with Hook, Emma, Charming, Snow, Regina, and let's throw in the Robin Hood family as well, just for fun.
Oh, God.
But not Henry. Henry's not invited.
Oh, well, him too. He's part of the Charming family.
Oh, but, and yeah. Then baby.
Yeah, and Prince Neil, because that's not
Neil.
I mean, seriously, like, come on. That has awkward written all over it. I could totally go for that. That would be amazing.
I could just go for, like, Hook and Emma domestic life. Just an entire episode of them cohabitating.
I need a Hook and Emma episode where Emma teaches Hook about all the pop culture references and shows him, like, the cartoon version of Peter Pan or the live action version of Hook.
Yes.
It's all I want in life.
That has so much potential. In my own little mind, it's amazing. But, you know, God, that would be so fantastic. So who else has any other thoughts about season four and what they would like to see storyline-wise?
I still kind of want a musical episode. Like, I know it's really ridiculous, but I still really want it. well, this would definitely be the the setting to do it with. Do you know what I mean? This would be the ultimate setup for that. It could be like the Buffy episode where there was a spell cast and all they could do was sing.
That would be so cool.
That could be Elsa's curse. She makes them all sing. Let it go. Forever.
I just remembered we had this discussion in the season finale episode of this podcast, but how long do you think we'll wait until Let It Go, you know, pun?
As soon as she's on the screen.
Yeah.
I say as soon as Anna, Kristoff, and Elsa are on the screen together, that's where we get our pun. Most likely from Kristoff.
Yeah, like unknowingly, just drops it.
Exactly. That would be my guess. As soon as they're all like in a flashback together, that's where it comes. Because come on now, that's like too easy. I think I don't know. Or Rumple like unwittingly throws it out there.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I guess I would really like to see Rumple like tell Belle the truth about things and come clean, because that really annoyed me about the season finale. Also, Regina being happy would be nice.
Yeah, I think that whole Belle Rumple thing is gonna get real ugly.
So do I.
Man, he married her and being so dishonest. It was
well.
Oh, go ahead.
Also, in interviews with Adam and Eddie, I think, haven't we seen where they're like, oh, yeah, no, she's going to find out and she's not going to be happy about it? I think I might have read that after the finale, but I could be lying.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Brittany?
No, I haven't. But I definitely agree that that's going to go down. I don't think that Regina or Rumple can be happy. So they have to ruin it.
Although, I hate that.
Rumple kind of deserves it. He shouldn't have done what he did.
Yeah, Rumple brought this one all on himself in a big way.
They're the kind of people who can't let other people be happy if they're miserable. You know? You just don't count those people.
Yeah, and that's going to be the harder part, because if Rumple loses Belle, I feel like he's lost the last thing that he had to live for and be good for. So where does that leave Rumple? What does that mean?
Oh boy.
Yeah, right. The stress of thinking about that is pretty intense right now. So I don't know. Like, I do worry a lot about where the Rumple and Belle storyline is going to go, because it was so sweet. And yet at the same time, you knew he was being stupid. And I don't know. I just don't know.
Do we have a season premiere date yet? No, right?
I don't believe so, no. But it'll probably be, like, mid to late September. That's when it was last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they'll probably end up running the 11 episodes, have a midwinter break, and then run the second 11 episodes. That seemed to work really well for them, so I can't see them wanting to veer from that plan too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they had one of the better schedules.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they learned from the year before, and they definitely said this in interviews, where like the year before it was very disjointed and it was very hard, because you would have an episode, you'd have 3 weeks off, you'd have 2 episodes, you'd have another 2 weeks off. Like, it was all kinds of broken up and scattered, and it was really, really hard to follow, and people couldn't really get into the story as much. Whereas if you have a first half and a second half, like two miniseries that connect the whole season, it works out much more effectively. Okay, listeners, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Once a Ball, but please tell us your thoughts on the casting. We're dying to hear what you guys are thinking. And who do you think should play Elsa? Because, I don't know, we don't really have a lot of choices, because if they go for an unknown, that would be cool. At the same time, Kristen Bell would be cool. I don't know. So you guys tell us who you think who should play Elsa and what you think might happen in season 4 with the Elsa storyline. So until then, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Christina.
Until next time, goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.